to our email newsletter list. You can fill out a card that's in the pew rack in front of you and put it in the offering plate when it goes by. And know that you are always welcome here. We do have a special service coming up on the Sunday after Father's Day. This will be our special country church service, which is arranged by David Regan. And thank you, David, for continuing to gather all the musicians and have them share their talents with us. This will be on June 27th, the fourth Sunday of this month. And all of our hymns during the service will be chosen from David's Gospel Supplement songbook, which has the songs that probably people who were in this church many years ago were very familiar with, and we keep that tradition alive in here. Today we return to our normal way of passing communion. This is a change-up for us, so last Sunday we were a little disorganized. We've rearranged the order of service to go back to the old way now that we're passing communion and the offering. So forgive me if I get a little bit catawampus there. But if you prefer to use the pre-filled cups and wafers, those will be on the tray. Otherwise, we'll pass the wafers and cups separately. This morning, Marga Barlow is our assistant here for the safety plan. She's monitoring the hallway, parking lot, letting in any latecomers. And this is something that anybody can volunteer for. There is a sign up out there on the table if you'd like to be a volunteer one week, or you can just let me know. Our Bellevue Food Bank ministry is an important outreach for this church. We're little, but we can make a difference. Last week, the Bellevue Food Bank served 33 families, and they said that they welcome canned or boxed non-perishables. They also need diapers, toothbrushes, toothpaste, soap, any kind of toiletry items. They have actually like a little store over there at the Bellevue Methodist Church that families of the Bellevue community, it's only for our local community, so this can be a big help. We've got two fairly full collection boxes, and if anybody'd like to volunteer to take them over to the Methodist Church, there's a grocery cart drop-off at the front of the church. You can just leave it in there. Any other announcements this morning? And if no other announcements, then we'll learn how to close the church door. There you go. Good morning. Welcome to Bellevue Christian Church. There's a bulletin up there at the... Do I get them a bulletin, please? And now that we're all gathered here in the sanctuary, if you'll join us in our recitation of our affirmation of faith, which is found in your bulletin. We who are gathered as Bellevue Christian Church confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bellevue Christian Church is to worship God by gathering weekly around the Lord's table and committing ourselves to Christian unity, to seek to know God and to make God known through study and teaching of the Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that invites and cares for all of God's people. Please stand for our call to worship. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life.
He who comes to me shall never hunger.
60, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
How great thou art. again, we welcome everybody here with us today, and we come to our time of prayer. Of course, the whole service is in the spirit of prayer, but we want to remember those that have requested, or folks have requested to lift them up. So look on the back of your bulletin and just look over those names. And as we pray, I'm just going to ask you to be thinking about these folks. Several have been on here for quite a while. And I'm going to just mention their names. Marcia Clements, Doc Carter, David and Helen Heath, the Rowe family, Vicki Dorman and Jim Beller, Larry Shelton, Donna Hale, Joanne Long, Mark Swenson, Mark Gillen. And just keep these folks in mind as we come to this time where we pray. Any other requests or any updates?
I do have an update.
Okay.
David and Helen Heath. I went to visit them yesterday because Helen wanted to donate some of her garden hydrangeas to the church service this morning. So we went over there and sat in the yard and cut flowers and talked and just had a good time. And she talked about her husband David as Lazarus, as he had had a fall, been in Vanderbilt Hospital, been in rehab, and praises to God for healing because he looks better than he has in probably the last 6 months. So all praise to God for his healing touch there.
Amen. Anyone else? Let's pray. We do give you praise, Lord, for touching in the lives of those that we care about. And sometimes, Lord, even when we ask for your touch, we may not see that you are touching and that you are blessing and that you're with us. But we know that, and we trust in that this morning. So, Lord, we want to ask you to just be with each person that we have mentioned. We ask for your blessing where their need is. Most of all, that they would draw to you and realize that you love them and you're with them. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship. We do worship individually as we go through the week, but we also worship corporately as your word teaches. So we thank you that we can gather here. We thank you for each person who has come to join us today. So we pray you very special blessings. And Lord, we give you thanks that you invited us to come directly to you. You even taught us to pray and gave us a model when you said these words, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Number 261, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
Thank you.
At this time, we come to the Lord's table, which is open to all. This particular table belonged to a longtime member of our congregation, Mary Hicks Bell. She gave it to the church when this sanctuary was dedicated in 1917. You might recognize the Hicks and Bell names from Hicks Road and Bell Road in our community. But this is not her table, and it's not the church's table. This is Christ's table, and it's made ready for all. So let us pray together. Lord, we gather at this table to give thanks for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. With the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, may we be ever mindful of his sacrifice and love for us. Amen. Now please remain seated while we sing our hymn of communion, Break Thou the Bread of Life, and we'll pass communion during the hymn. This is 321.
Took the bread, he said to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thanks be to Christ for the bread of life. In like manner, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you partake of this, do it in remembrance of me." Thanks be to Christ, for the cup of salvation. Bit of a work in progress as we kind of switch some things around. We come to our time of offering, and just want to remember the Lord's blessings to us and give Him thanks. Lord, we come to You thanking You for all that You've blessed us with. Everything we have comes from You. So Lord, I pray that as we give, You would bless each gift and the giver. For Your glory and honor. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Lying there. still souls. I am reaching over Jordan. Take my hand, Lord, Lord, lead me home. I am standing on the mountain, and I can hear precious Lord, lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me
today is the book of John, chapter 6, 1 through 15. And if you'll turn in your Bibles, either in the Pew Bible or the one that you brought from home, to the scripture passage, you can follow along. This is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I'm reading today from my Bible, which is the New Living Translation. After this, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. And a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miracles as he healed the sick. Then Jesus went up into the hills, sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly the time for the annual Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a great crowd of people climbing the hill looking for him. Turning to Philip, he said, "Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip said, "It would take a small fortune to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up. "There is a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So all of them sat down. The men alone numbered 5,000. They sat on the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and passed them out to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish. They all ate until they were full. "Now gather the leftovers," Jesus told his disciples, "so that nothing is wasted." There were only 5 barley loaves to start with, but 12 baskets were filled with the pieces of bread that people did not eat. When the people saw this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we've been expecting." Jesus saw that they were ready to take him by force and make him king, so he went into the hills alone.
All right. Continuing in the reading of the word, I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 14. A parallel passage to this, because all 4 gospel writers had some details, and I'm going to lean into Matthew's account some. So if you turn to Matthew 14, verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish." He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Never fails. I go to a fast food counter and I order a combo. And they say, would you like that small, medium, or large? I say, I want that combo. The one that says $7.99. That's what I want. Oh, that's medium. Okay. Now, I really don't understand why you go into a fast food place and you sit down to eat, which we're finding that we're able to do now in some places. Some places I found out are still, the lobbies are closed. You learn these things when you travel back and forth in the last couple weeks. But I stopped at this one. I never understood why you would pay more money to get more Coke when you can always go up and get seconds. And those little few extra French fries aren't going to really make a lot of difference. So anyhow, supersize. Everybody's got all into this supersize thing. Now what was interesting is the mayor of New York a while back decided that he wanted to ban supersized drinks because it wasn't healthy. Now, wait a minute. So you're going to ban supersized drinks, but people can still go and they can buy two drinks, two Cokes. How does this even make sense? But this supersized mentality. You know, I have seen some amazing things happen at potluck dinners. Now, we haven't had any here yet. I'm looking forward to that. But I've seen some amazing things happen. Until one experience, we never ran out of food. It's amazing. Y'all ever been at potluck dinners where they ran out of food? No, most of the time it doesn't. Here's what happened. We had a gospel quartet come. And it wasn't that they ate so much, but they told a bunch of their fans, hey, they're having dinner before the concert. And so we had about 20 or 30 extra people there, not counting the singers and their musicians. And we could see we're going to run out of food. Now, we couldn't do this thing that Jesus did. I mean, he's got this thing going on. Matter of fact, it's going on so much that all four gospel writers told about it. And outside the resurrection, that's the only miracle that's included in all four Gospels. So, anyhow, what did we do? We picked up the phone, called and ordered to get some buckets of chicken and all the fixings that went with it. And we went and bought it and brought it over there. And we had enough food. But you can see the dilemma that's going on here. Now, we get some different perspectives from the other gospel accounts. It's not that they are telling a different story, but sometimes if you and I are at a large gathering, you're going to see some different things than I would see, or you're going to highlight different things. So anyhow, here's what we find had happened. Jesus was already ministering to a crowd, but he realized that his disciples and himself, they hadn't even had time to eat. So they decided that they would scoot away to a quiet, deserted place. Well, that didn't work. People followed. Now, I'm not talking about 20 or 30 people. I'm talking probably 20 to 30,000 people. You say, well, where do you get that from 5,000? Remember, it says here, not counting the women and the children. See, what they would do is they would count families. And the way to do that, they would count the men. And so there were 5,000 men plus women plus children. So, I mean, it could have been, and you know, they had larger families. So it could have been 15, 20, 25,000 people. How do you even manage something for a crowd like that? They follow Jesus. Now, I get from reading the scriptures that Jesus was probably needing a break. You know, I had an experience. I was working at St. Thomas Hospital as a part-time chaplain. And they asked if one of the part-time chaplains could come in on a particular Tuesday. And I said I could. But I'd also started working for their counterpart at Murfreesboro. And I was on call Wednesday from midnight until 8 a.m. But I did not realize, I didn't connect the dots when I said yes to Tuesday, that Wednesday will begin when I get off of Tuesday. And so I get home, sitting in the driveway, my phone rings. They said, Chaplain Dennis, this is Middle Tennessee Medical Center, as it was called then. We need you to come. There was a baby that died. And I'm like, I'm on call. So I worked my day job. I worked that night job. Then I went in the morning. Then Wednesday, we have an IDT meeting, which is the big meeting at hospice. I said, Lord, I need your strength. Well, made it through all that. And I kind of get the idea that Jesus was a bit tired and that the disciples, they were needing a break. You see, ministry can be exhausting. Life can be exhausting. The work you do can be exhausting. And so this was the work that they were doing. So here they're at this quiet, deserted place. And all of a sudden, here they come. By the hundreds and the thousands. Now, I got to be honest. I'd probably be tempted to go, can't we get a break? But Jesus had compassion on them. That was his natural reaction. He had compassion on them. And it says in Matthew's account that he taught and he healed them. And he had compassion like they were sheep without a shepherd. Wow. Compassion on them. Now I want you to put yourself in the story. Sometimes it's kind of fun to do that. Imagine yourself being the spokesman. And the disciples are getting together, as we kind of see in the Matthew account, that they're like, man, it's really getting late. It was evening, and they decide that they need to go tell Jesus, send them on, so they can get food. Now, I want you just to kind of imagine a story that probably happened before they got to the point where they went. A group of them gets together and they form a committee. That sounds very churchy, doesn't it? You know, say form a committee. Now, somebody's got to go tell Jesus that we're hungry. But then they say, that's not going to sound good. So, I know. Let's tell Jesus that the people are hungry. He cares about the people, you know, right? So, and you're elected. And you go to Jesus. Or if I was elected, I go to Jesus. I say, Lord, excuse me for interrupting. We've been here a long time. And the people are tired and hungry. Jesus said, we don't need to send them away. Feed them. Feed them. Feed them. So go back to the little committee. What did he say?
Well, he said, feed them.
What? He said, feed them. What do you mean, feed them? What do we got? All we saw with this was this kid with the Long John Silver's bag walk by that has two fish and five rolls in it. He says, feed them. So go back to Jesus and say, but Jesus, we don't have anything but two fish and five rolls. He says, bring it to me. Now, it wasn't really loaves like we think. It was more like rolls, like we would imagine that you would get on your plate. So he says, bring them to me. And they brought it to him, 12 baskets, each of the disciples. And he starts breaking off a little bit. I mean, maybe not too much larger than these. He breaks off a little bit and drops it in the basket. Then I can just see the disciples going around. You got to sometimes just use your imagination. You can just kind of see how this could have played out. So they go to the first guy and say, hey, don't hog it. Just take a little bit. You know, no. But here's what happened. Jesus blessed it. He gave thanks. And it was in the basket. All that was in the basket was what was originally in the basket until they started pulling out of the basket. And it's like, what? Everybody was fed. Everybody was full. Everybody had everything that they needed. As a matter of fact, it just says after everybody was done, there was 12 baskets full. I guess that each of the disciples had a doggy bag. You know, it was a lot that was left over. Now, I love this. What did Jesus do after they ate? See, the disciples wanted to send them home before Jesus did this miracle. Jesus says, no, feed them. He wanted the disciples to be involved in this. He wanted faith to be seen in this. Verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. See, He could have sent them away right before he fed them. But he had something to teach. Something that can teach us. Do you ever feel like you don't have enough? Enough time? Well, I just don't have enough time, so I really can't go to worship. Enough money? Well, I really just don't have enough money, so I just can't really give to anybody. Just don't have enough. But the amazing thing, when we trust Jesus, we find we have enough. That's what these disciples found out on this day. Now, we're talking a lot of people here. This isn't something you can just make up. This is like 20,000 people probably who are going out saying, this was the most amazing thing. And when you look at the miracles of Jesus, they are amazing. But remember, we're talking about the God who created the universe. This is the Son of God who will meet our need through His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know how the story speaks to you. I don't know if there's something that it just zeroes in your heart and in your life. But I think all of us can get something from the story to say, yes, our God is enough. He is able to take care of us. He is able to provide all that we need. I imagine a lot of people that day decided to keep following Jesus. What about you? Our hymn of invitation is number 344. It's, I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you decided to follow Him? Let's stand. Let's sing. Provider. You take care of every need. You've blessed us as a church. You provided for what we need to keep going to serve you. So we thank you and we trust you, Lord. We trust that you're going to use us for your glory. We thank you for all those who are gathered today. I know we have several visiting, and we certainly want them to feel most welcome. We're glad that they're here. Most of all, Lord, we're glad that you're here. And we lift up praise to you as we dismiss. In Christ's name, amen.